Today we're going to talk about trusting the faithfulness of God. So we've been talking about faithfulness and trust in the different capacities for several weeks now. And trusting the faithfulness of God that no matter what we're going through, He's there. You know, Psalm 23, I love Psalm 23, it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall not fear, for your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the midst of my enemies." So when we're going through stuff, who's with us? Jesus. God is with us. Whatever we're doing, whatever we're going through, He's with us. You know, we always read that, you know, that it's like the typical thing to read it when you go to a funeral, because everybody is in mourning and, it, you know, you're sad. But I think one of the great aspects of that is that He prepares a table, a feast in the presence of your enemies. In the midst of whatever you're going through, He's there. He didn't say you wouldn't go through it. He never said you won't go through stuff. Jesus said in this world you'll have tribulation. When we are going through the trouble, we have to keep our focus on Him. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. "Keep your lifestyle free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For God Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So that with confidence we say, 'The Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What will man do to me?'" In other words, everything is going to work out. It is. Have you ever been on the verge that you're going to go through something, you know it's a really horrific thing that you're going through? Maybe it's, you know, the impending death of a loved one, or, you know, you've just been fired from a job and you don't know how you're going to provide for your family, and you worried and worried and worried about it, then everything worked out okay? In the process, though, we have a choice. We can worry about it, or we can trust God and know that He said He was never going to leave us or forsake us. Never will He leave us. He knows our dreams. He knows our financial status. He knows our marital status. Come on. Kathy told the Lord, she said, "You know, once I hit, you know, if I hit 30 and I'm not married, I'll never bring it up to you again." So when she was just a few months from turning 30, we got married. It worked out just right in time. Okay? He knows the problems that you're having with your boss. He knows the problems that you're having with your children. He knows the things that your kids are going through and the things that they're putting you through. He knows what the doctor just told you. Come on. Several people here have been told a lot of things by doctors, and it gives you a real opportunity to fear. But He said, "Do not fear. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Fear is an option. We can choose to be in fear, or we can choose not to. Choosing not to fear is the harder choice, because it requires work on our part that we're going to put God in the middle of whatever we're going through, and we're not going to let fear consume us. Fear is an evil thing. I know Billy Brim, she tells a story how all her life she grew up and she was just afraid of this and afraid of that and afraid of this. And if her husband was 10 minutes late coming home from work, she called the sheriff's department, find out if they knew anything or heard anything. I mean, she just lived in fear. She said one day she was praying and she fell down on the bed and she said, "Lord, I just can't live in fear like this anymore." And she said it was something just kind of dark lifted off of her. And she said she could literally see this dark thing go out through the window. Fear is a spirit. It's a spirit. When, you know, when Faith was going through everything she was going through and the doctor said she's not going to make it through the night, I guarantee you there was fear. But what did we do with it? Man, it was hard. It was a labor not to be in fear. It is a labor not to be in fear. We can trust God and not be in fear. He is going to give us strength to do that. He's going to give us strength for battles. He's going to give us wisdom for every decision and peace for every battle that we need. Because you can go home when they tell you that your child isn't going to make it through the night. You can go home and you can sleep when you're trusting God. And you can wake up praying for your child because you're putting trust in God instead of fear in the situation, instead of fear in what the doctors have said. Some people face huge, seemingly insurmountable needs and decisions, and he knows that. He knows when you're faced with something seemingly insurmountable, that you just don't think that there's any way that we're going to make it through this. Yet every single time, doesn't he always see you through? You've just been evicted. Praise the Lord, he will provide. God will pay back and bring vindication. He wants to bring your deepest desires to life from your heart. And he can't do that if we're living in fear. Fear keeps people back from trying to do new things. Of course, I will add to that, jumping out of an airplane. Probably not really wise. I'm always going to go back to that because if I tell her that, you know, we don't have to live in fear, she's going to say, well, I want to skydive. I'm no. Wait till the children are older. That way, if anything happens, I don't have to raise them on my own. I'm not afraid of it, but that's just a lot more work. In the Amplified, let me read this to you from Hebrews chapter 13. It's the Amplified version, so it's like three times as long. Let your character or moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions, and be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree. This is the Amplified. Three times, I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake you, nor let you down. I will not relax my hold on you, assuredly not. So we may take comfort and be encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? What can a man do to you? Well, they stoned Stephen. Oh, look, and the heavens opened up, and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, there to receive him. If they're going to stone you, let them stone you. Don't fear. It didn't say that Stephen fell on the ground crying and weeping, please don't do this, please don't. No, he stood there boldly, trusting God. He's about ready to get stoned, and he's trusting God. It doesn't matter. Look, has anybody here ever threatened to stone you? No. I've never been threatened to be stoned. But he says, I will not. I will not. I will not. No matter what you're going through, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you alone. Don't fear. I will not leave you alone. I will not. That is God saying it is his will. And he's not going to do it. His will is not to leave you alone. It is his will not to leave you alone. But if we get into fear, are we trusting God? I will not. He knows what we need. And we needed to hear it over and over again. I will not, I will not, I will not. We need to develop an unshakable confidence in the one we don't see, to develop an unshakable conscience in the one we don't see, and confidence, and not be discouraged by what we don't see. Just because you don't see him there with you, like Stephen saw him, does not mean that he's any less there. People would say to us when we were with Faith and she's in the hospital for 4 months after she was born, and people would say, aren't you, you never seemed worried or anything upset by the whole thing? No, absolutely not. There were plenty of opportunities. When the doctor said she's not going to make it through the night, there was a huge opportunity. But because our faith was in God, God protected us from those feelings of fear. Man, I'm telling you what, I walked into her room and I said, you know, the doctors seem to think that she's not going to make it through the night. So there were, my wife was, Kathy was there. Well, she'd had a cesarean, obviously she was there. And she wasn't allowed to go anywhere yet. And two friends of mine, that we had been praying together, we sat at one of those long rectangular tables, me and four ladies, for several years. And we prayed together every week for years. And two of them just happened to be there that day, that night, and they were visiting Kathy. And I said what the doctor said, and they said, "That's not going to happen." Kathy said, "It will not happen." And we prayed. We went immediately to God. That's what we have to do when we're faced with those situations. He's got a table there prepared for us in the midst of whatever we're going through, and we just have to partake of it. We just have to go to him in prayer. We just have to make our declaration, "The Lord is my helper, I shall not want." How about, "He is making crooked places straight for me." Those areas in your life that just look all out of shape, where it doesn't look like anything's going to happen, he's making it straight. He's going before you. That's what it says in Isaiah. He says he's going before you and he's making the crooked places straight. When someone told my mom she didn't look very healed, she had multiple sclerosis and she'd been in the hospital, and somebody said to her, she said, "Well, God healed me." And this person said, "You don't look very healed," because she still had, you know, limp and she had some leftover residual stuff. And she said, "It doesn't matter what it looks like, I'm healed." And she was consistent with that until the medical profession said, "You don't have it anymore. You've been healed from it." Years of "I'm healed" before the doctors agreed with her. God was her helper. When it looks like you're going down, I love this, look up. When it looks like you're going down, look up. Yahweh Goel, your redemption is drawing near. That's what his name is, Yahweh Goel, Redeemer. That's the Hebrew. Yahweh Goel, the Lord is my Redeemer. When it looks like you're not going to get any better physically, look up. Yahweh Rapha, your healer, is drawing close. The Lord my healer. That's what Rapha means, healer. He's Yahweh, the God of healing. Never anywhere in Scripture is he called Yahweh the God of sickness and disease. Never. There is no darkness in him at all. There is only light. He is the God of redemption. He is the God of healing. When your business isn't doing well, look up. Yahweh Jireh, your provider, is there. He's going to meet your needs. He's going to help you. He's going to give you wisdom. He's going to give you advice. He's going to give you counsel on how to get through to the next phase. Even if it means closing down your business and doing something else. God has got something bigger for us. When we magnify him, he gets bigger. Scripture says, magnify the Lord. Magnify the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord. When we magnify him, he gets bigger. His ability, his provision gets bigger. When we magnify the problem, what happens to the problem? It gets bigger. It could be something real small. But the more you think about it, the more you talk about it, the more you dwell on it, the bigger it gets. Come on, everybody's had those times where you get a little creak somewhere. You're like, "Oh, I wonder what that could be. Maybe it's my kidneys. I should start drinking more water. Oh, there it is again. Oh, it's got to be the sciatica coming on. Oh, where's that video on the exercises for sciatica? Oh, it's not going away. Maybe I've got fused discs." I mean, come on. The more you talk about a tiny little problem, the worse your mind can create for it, the bigger it gets, the more problem you're with. Pretty soon, you're going to doctors and specialists trying to find out, "No, there's something wrong. I know there is." And then pretty soon, you've got the tombstone that says, "I told you I was sick." Whatever we put under the magnifying glass is going to get bigger. So magnify. Open up with me to Psalm 34. We're going to read this. Psalm 34. Now this is a psalm that David wrote concerning his time with Abimelech, where he had to pretend like he was insane to get away. This is a good one. "I will praise the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will boast in the Lord. The humble will hear and be glad. proclaim Yahweh's greatness with me. Let us exalt his name forever together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. How many? All. This is David. He said, I sought the Lord, and he delivered me from all my fears. If we will put him first and seek him first in what we're going through, is he going to deliver you from all your fears? It says right here, he will deliver you from all your fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. You can be going through the fire like we talked about last week with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Be tossed in the fire and not smell like smoke. And have joy because God is with you. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him from all his troubles. How many? All his troubles. Did he deliver him out of them? He delivered him. Maybe you get tossed in the fire, but you're delivered through it, aren't you? You'd be like Daniel in the lion's den. They let those lions starve before they put him in. He goes in there, comes out the next day. The lions didn't touch him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How happy is the man who takes refuge in him. You who are his holy ones, fear Yahweh. For those who fear him lack nothing. Fear him. Reverence him. Put him first. Trust him. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who delights in life, loving a long life to enjoy what is good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from deceitful speech. Right there, man, I'm telling you what. Keep your lips from deceitful speech. You start talking about this problem and how you don't know if you're going to make it through it, how you don't know how you're going to get up to the other side. Where is God with his table of plenty that he's prepared for you in the middle of the trial? If we magnify the problem is going to get bigger. It is a deceitful tongue to turn away from God and say, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. Turn away from what is evil and do what is good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. Paul writes in Corinthians, he said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you are the righteousness of God, does he hear your prayers? Is he watching over you? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. How can he not be? That's like a parent. We've got this, our new house has a backyard that's fenced in. So I'm not concerned so much about them getting lost or a wild animal coming after them. But you know what? I still watch because they're my children. They could fall down, stumble, hurt themselves. And who's going to be there to get them? I am. Who's going to be there when you stumble and fall? God is. He's going to be there to lift you up, to exalt you, to raise you up, and to help you everywhere you're at. He never said, here's your rose-colored glasses, everything's going to be just beautiful all the time. No, he never promised that. He never promised you a rose garden. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of the Lord is set against those who do what is evil to erase all memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears. The Lord delivers them from all their troubles. All your troubles he's delivering you from. The Lord is near the brokenhearted. When you've gone through something, he's near to you. When your heart is broken, he's near to you. He's the one who can comfort you and hold you. He's the one who I hear, you know, so many women say, I just crawl up in my father's lap, and he comforts me. He protects all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil brings death to the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be punished. The Lord redeems the life of his servants, and all who take refuge in him will not be punished. There's some good promises right there. You can go to that passage of Scripture, and whatever you're going through, you can say, you hear me according to Scripture. You hear me. You hear my cries. You hear my pleas to you. And you said in your word that you prepare a table for me in the midst of what I'm going through. So I don't have to fear. You said, you will not leave me. God is obligated, get this, God is obligated by his word to bring to pass what he says he's going to do. If he says he's going to do it, he's obligated to do it. Why? Because he's God. He said he never lies. He's obligated to help you. he's obligated to be there for you. Not necessarily what we say, but what he says. Listen, Satan is happy when we bring our problems and troubles and complaints because we start to magnify them instead of magnifying God. Satan's happy with that. Why? Because you're this little Christian who's going through all these troubles and trials and tribulations all the time, who's just got it as bad off as everybody else. What's the point? At least when we're going through trials and troubles and tribulations, we can have joy. We can have joy. He prepares a feast for you. All the things you like, all the stuff you enjoy, he's got prepared for you right in the middle of whatever it is you're going through. He's not leaving you. If we will bring to him what he said he was going to do, he is faithful who promised, and he will not disappoint. He will not disappoint. He who promised is faithful. So say it like this: Lord, you promised that you'd be with me. And I feel alone, but I know you're with me. I'm not alone. I'm not alone in what I'm going through. Lord, you said you'd strengthen me. I need strength in my physical body. You said that you would strengthen those who were weak. So strengthen me today, Father, as I'm going through whatever this is. It doesn't have to be, we don't have to do anything alone. Maybe you're single. You're not alone. You've been sealed with the Spirit of God. The love of God's been shed abroad in your heart. God abides with us and dwells with us. Nobody is alone. When you feel alone, stand up and say, I'm not alone. He will never leave me. I am not alone. He says he upholds his word above his name in Isaiah 55. He says, I hold my word, I put my word above my name. That's pretty high, because there's no other God beside our God. There's no other name that you can call on for salvation besides Jesus. And he says he puts his word above his name. If he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. That means we won't fail. That means he won't fail to bring his promises to pass. If not in our desired time, he will do it. He said he's going to. If we'll hold his promises to him, the problem is that most of the time, and I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else, I forget. It's easy to forget to put the promises of God and to walk in the promises of God, because life has so many pulls on us. Life has so many distractions. But if we'll make a practice of putting his word first, God, you said you're my helper. You said you would help me. We have this friend. She's a single mom. I've mentioned her before. She was pregnant, and her husband was abusive, and she had all kinds of problems, and she made the decision it's time to leave him. She left her home. She left security. That's the thing that makes so many women hold on in abusive situations. She took the Lord with her, and she moved out. She got away from him. She has done an amazing job raising her three kids. Those kids love Jesus. They know how to depend on God. She has been so blessed financially because she just depends on him. Because every time the offering plate passes by, I've seen her, man. She might not have a lot, but every time the offering plate passes by, she puts something in it. Because she's saying, I trust God. Psalm 54:2. God, hear my prayer. Listen to the words of my mouth. God, hear my prayer. Listen to the words of my mouth. Psalm 118:5. I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. Come on. God hears you when you pray. He hears you when you call out to him, and he delivers you from your distress and puts you in a spacious place. He's going to put you in a spacious place. He's making a place that's nice for you, that's just the right kind of place for you. And if you'll be patient and hold on, I'm telling you, that word I got this morning, multiplication, God is on the verge. He's working out to multiply you. He's working on multiplying us. He's working on multiplying the good things in your life. He's going to make a spacious place for you. A place where you're not tight up all the time. Won't that be nice? But he's in the process of doing it. I love that. I called to the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and put me in a spacious place. Say, he's putting me in a spacious place. He's putting me in a spacious place. Listen, the word of God is forever true. God will make a spacious place for you to dwell in him where he meets your needs and fulfills all his promises. Did he not do that to the children of Israel? He took them out of captivity, brought them into a spacious place. He wanted to bring them into a better place, but they didn't know how to receive it. So it took 40 years for them to get to that spacious place. Then they got into that spacious place, a land overflowing with milk and honey. Psalm 75:10 says, I will cut off all the horns or the strength of the wicked, but the horn or the strength of the righteous will be lifted up. If you give him what strength you have, he's going to increase it, he's going to multiply it, he's going to lift you up and make it a greater place. Psalm 57:6, they prepared a net for my steps. I was despondent. They dug a pit for me, but they fell into it. They fell into it. The wicked might come after you. The devil might be trying to chase you down and get you into trouble. But if you'll believe with him, they'll fall into the pit. They dug a pit for you, but watch them fall into it. Psalm 91 says, only with your eyes will you look and see the destruction that comes on the wicked at noonday. That's a nice promise. You don't have to do it. God will deliver you out of it. God is there with you when you're going through whatever you're going through. The Lord said it like this, and I believe it. I believe if he said that he's going to deliver me, he's going to deliver me. Maybe not always, we talked about this week last week, not always in the way that we thought, but he will. He will deliver you. He will provide the next place for you. Come on, Abraham and his entire family and all of their servants and everybody, all of the stuff that they had, all the tents and everything that they had, get up and go to a land that I'll tell you about. One day at a time. One day at a time. Trusting God one day at a time. Psalm 103 says that the angels respond to the voice of God's word. His holy angels respond to the voice of God's word, whether he's speaking it or you're speaking it. The angels respond to the voice of God's word. When we put voice to God's word, the angels will respond to it. Anybody ever see that meme where there's the angel going like this? It says, this is my angel today. Probably because there's nothing to respond to. I'm going to take a nap. So many times, I've told this before, Faith used to have this contact lens. It was $250, and insurance didn't cover it. She was just she was just little, and she would eat these lenses. She figured out how to pop it out, and she'd play with it, you know, because children do that. It's just what children do. And, you know, there was this, you know, temptation to comb through diapers later. No, we never did, but she'd pop them out, and you'd go, and you'd digging through the car, looking for it, digging through the house, and she'd lost one, and we were at this, you know, the house, and I was just like, Lord, I need that lens back. We don't have $250 for another lens right now. And so I released the angels to go get that lens. It had been a week. I had vacuumed the living room twice. I'm walking through the living room, and I look down there, and there's something shiny. Right there was that lens. The angels brought it back. So many times we sent the angels out to get Sergio, and every time, one way or another, the angels would bring Sergio back until this last time. Isaiah 55:11 says that God's word never returns void. That means it always does what it sent forth to do. So if you believe when you send the word of God forth that the angels are going to respond to it, that God has exalted his word above his name, if you believe those things, that the word of God doesn't return void, when you speak it, when the word of God is on your lips, because we're putting our trust and our faith in God, and he said that this is true, that his word does not return void, but it goes out and accomplishes that which he said it was going to do, then if you take that at its word, if you take God at his word, that his word does what he said it's going to do, and it's not coming back void, then it will. Isaiah 61:3 says that he gives you beauty for ashes. You bring him your ashes, your broken life, your problems, and he's going to give you beauty for that instead. Beauty for ashes. Psalm 30 verse 5 says, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. You might be hit with something and you're going to cry about it for a little while, but like, you know, not like Snow White and just lay in the ground and, you know, until you feel like you're going to die, you know, but you're going to cry, but then you're going to get up because joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. It's a promise. You might be going through something right now, but joy comes in the morning. When you get to the other side of that thing, and you've instead of being in fear over it, you've allowed yourself to be in faith over it, and you're going to find yourself in joy over it. This gal we knew when we were going to Bible school, she had this car, and there was a $6,000 note due on it, and it was due like the next day, and she didn't have any way to pay for it. And she remembered something that Brother Hagin had said. Laugh at the devil. Laugh at the problem. She's like, Lord, I don't know how to do this. And Brother Hagin said to laugh. So, And pretty soon, you know, because if you're laughing like that, you're going to hear yourself. You're like, oh my God, do I sound like that? And you're going to start laughing at yourself, and pretty soon you're going to be in the joy again. See, when we lost our first son, I was with my dad at the funeral home, and I was just a mess. And the guy that was helping us looked like Robin Williams. I told him that too. I said, does anybody ever tell you you look like Robin Williams? And I was a mess, and I was crying. I said, excuse me, I'm going to go. And he said, thank you. And I went to the bathroom, and I'm washing my hands. And you know those little things that are on the wall, the air fresheners? It went, psst. And I found myself in there. I was wiping the mirror and wiping the counters. I'm like, what am I doing? Where's my trust in God? And I got back to it. I came back. I was a different person after that, wasn't I, Dad? Sometimes it takes an air freshener to wake you up. He's not going to leave us where we were at. He's always going to bring us up. If we will trust in him, no matter where we're at, maybe you've gone around the same mountain time and time and time again, but this time if you'll approach it with faith and not fear, with joy instead of sorrow, and just get to the other side of that thing. God has something better for you on the other side. Will there be another test and trial? Absolutely. This world is full of tests and trials, but it's our response to them that builds our character, that builds our trust in God. When we trust in him, when people look at you and say, well, this is just horrible. Here, let's go cry together. Don't do it. It's a trap. It's a trap. If you're a Star Wars fan, you get that one. It's a trap. It's a trap. God is not fallible. He is trustworthy. He is always faithful. You can always trust him. It doesn't matter what you're going through. Just remember, I will not, I will not, I will not leave you. I prepared a feast for you in the middle of your trouble. I've got this handled. If you'll just take me by the hand and you'll just walk with me, he's saying, we'll get through this together. It's so much better to go through it together. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can trust you. We thank you that we can bring you in remembrance of your word. We thank you that we have your word so that we have something strong that we can stand on. We thank you for promising that you would never leave us nor forsake us, no matter what we're going through. Oh, what a wonderful feeling that is. We love you, Father. And we thank you for today. Hallelujah.